Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that the Bible speaks to us today by your Spirit, because you speak to us. Father, we pray that we would have ears to hear and minds that will understand and wills that will want to obey what you say. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, harvest time, we gather together gifts. And here are some gifts at the front of church we've gathered together to then be able to give to others. But have you ever thought about this? It might seem as a little bit of a strange thing to do. Let me give you an example. I have here a gift that was given by Helen, my wife, her auntie, to herself. It is a... Are you ready for this? Sorry, it's a gift from her auntie Hazel in America to Helen. It is a house coat. Now, can you imagine the scene when that fell out of the package, wanting to know what Auntie Hazel had got Helen for Christmas? It's got fruit on it. Now, I didn't even know what a house coat was until that fell out of the package. But I was quite amused to see what it would look like on Helen. Sorry, embarrassing her a little bit now. Now, there might be some here thinking, well, that's rather nice. I'll buy that for my wife. No, I probably don't want to do... it's quite an extraordinary gift, really, isn't it? But here's the thing. When we're given a gift, well, it's a bit rude, isn't it, then to say, oh, well, you have it. Isn't it? It's a bit rude, isn't it? Someone gives you a gift to say, actually, I'll give that to somebody else. Now, I'm sure we've all thought of that, doing that, but you see, it's a bit rude, isn't it? So why do we do that to God at harvest? Have you thought about that? Why at harvest time do we receive gifts from God and then think, well, actually, I'll just give them to someone else? Isn't that being rude to God? Well, no, it's not. Because God gives us gifts so that we would have changed hearts. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. I'm going to come back to this indescribable gift later. But before we do, Paul's writing to some of his friends who lived in ancient Greece in the city called Corinth, and he's reminding them of the wonderful gifts that God has given to them. You see, it matters how we respond to those gifts. It matters how we receive them and what we do with the gifts God's given to us. What we do with the gifts that God gives us now changes what will happen later for us. Well, we have two examples. Let me find my little clicker. The first one is the first gift that Paul wants us to be thinking about this morning is this, of food to eat. God's gift of food to eat. Look at verse 10 on page 1164. 1164, and turn over one page and not three, says this: Now God, who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What does he mean there? Well, let me just put it in my own words. The thing I want to just take away from that, to start with, is this. God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. Okay, God's the one who does that. So it's God alone who gives us food to enjoy, isn't it? It's God who kind of gives the seed to the farmer, that the farmer will be able to grow food to make bread that we can eat. But it's easy, we can forget that. Because why? Because we just get our bread from Morrison's or Asda, don't we? You know, we go and we buy our bread and we forget where it comes from. So to help us kind of remember that, I've brought with me a very, very cutting-edge machine. Okay, now, some of you here might have at home in your kitchens a bread maker. Does anyone have a bread maker in their kitchen? Ooh, just a few of you. Well, I'll guarantee you this. None of you have got what I've made. It took me a long time to make this. It's got high-tech engineering. It's called a bread unmaker. A bread unmaker. Okay? I bet none of you have got it. You think that just looks like a cardboard box? No, this is high-tech equipment that I've made for us today so that we would remember where our food comes from. You see, look, here's a loaf of bread. Okay? Slice of bread. Now we can enjoy it. What we normally would slice it up and gobble it up, wouldn't we? That's what we do for bread. But we're going to see what happens when we put my loaf of bread, into my bread unmaker machine. Okay? So, let me just open the lid. And just pop it in. Put the lid on. You've got to put the lid on for it to work. Now, my bread unmaker is currently unmaking my bread. Okay, now, I know if you've got a bread maker, it could take quite a while, you know, to make your bread, you know, as it kind of clunks and churns away in the kitchen corner, but mine actually works quite quickly. So, if we were going to put bread in a bread unmaker, what would you expect to come out? Ooh, what do you make bread out of? What, if it's going to unmake bread, what are we going to find in there when it's done? Ooh, there's some hands up at the back. Yeah, what? Shout something out. What do you think you'll find in the bread unmaker? Go on. Can you shout out? Yeah. Oh, seeds. Ooh. Before we get to seeds, I'm going to come back to you. I promise you. Before we get to seeds, what are we going to find that we make bread out of? Ooh. What do we make bread out of? Flour. Shall we see if there's flour in my bread unmaker yet? Oh yeah, it's working. Right. Okay. Good. Right. Oh. Yep. Here we go. There we go. Flour. It's unmade my bread into flour. You see, we make bread out of flour. Yeah? No, that's doing all right, isn't it? Okay. Now, what else? What else would we need to make our bread? We put flour in. What else would we put in there? Yeast. Good one. Shall we see? That might be a bit tricky to get the yeast out. Oh, no. Yeast. It's working well, you see. It's a fancy bit of kit, this. You can't buy this at Lakeland, you know. So, yeast, that's right. So we've got flour and yeast that goes in to make our bread. What else do you think will come out? Any other ideas? What else do you put into bread? Salt. Ooh. There we go. Some salt, yeah, flour, yeast, salt. There's one more important thing that we have to put into bread. Ooh, Corin. Water, well done, let's see. Yes, look at that. You see, my bread maker works. But you see, okay, so those things that we put it to make bread, flour, yeast, water, a bit of salt, sometimes we might put a little bit of oil in just to help it along its way, but that's what makes our bread. Now, when we go to the supermarket, well, we can buy all these things, but we still forget where this comes from. Well, Paul reminds us, didn't he, that it involves a farmer. So if I put my flour in my bread unmaker, what do you think it's going to do? How do we unmake flour? What does flour make from? Now, someone at the back here might have an idea. This is where you're cute. What do you think flour's made from? Go on. Can you remember? You got there. Seeds. That's right. Now, do you remember what those seeds are called? They have a particular name, don't they? Shall we see? Shall we see if it's done it? Has it worked? Ooh. Oh, not yet. What do you call the seeds that we make flour out of? Can you remember? Go on, shout it out, so I have to run to the back. Can you shout out? Grain! Yes! Grain! And that grain, make the flour, hang on. Oh, yes. It's worked. We call wheat. Isn't it? That's the grain that we use. The farmer grows the grain. Here's a picture. Okay? The farmer, he grows the grain in his field. He uses a combine harvester to then to cut the wheat and then separate out the grain from the rest of it. And then the farmer takes it to a miller who turns it into flour, doesn't he? That's how we get bread. It all starts with the seed. Now look again what Paul says to us in our reading. He says, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food. So it's God is the one who gives us our daily bread. But we forget that, don't we? Because we buy it from Morrison's. We forget that it comes from God. Well, this time of year, our farmers are busy, aren't they? You know, they've been busy in the fields, bringing in their crops. And of course, as the farmer was busy, you know, kind of harvesting, he was also busy earlier in the year, in the spring, when he planted the seed. And then that grew this great crop, and we're thankful for that work today. We want to say thank you for all those who bring food to our tables, don't we? In all sorts of different ways. But Paul says, God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. God's the one who does that. And not just the seed. God sends the sun, doesn't he? And the rain. And he sends the sun and the rain that the seeds might grow. You see, the farmer might plant the seed and he might harvest it, he might do all the weeding, but God gives life to the ground and to the seed so that it grows. And today, we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. We live in a world where we can do so much as people that we forget God, the miracle of life, the wonder of daily food. God is the one who provides everything we need, and therefore we should be thankful for all his gifts. But here's the thing that Paul is writing to them about. He's saying that, look, when we see how generous and kind God is, well then, of course, we start to think about being kind and generous to others. Why is that? Because God wants us to, in this regard, be like him. He wants us to be generous to others because he is the generous one. That's for our good. That's why Paul says in verses 6 and 7 he warns us. He says, we will reap what we sow. We reap what we'll sow. So we need to think carefully about what God's given to us and then with thankfulness and joy cheerfully give to others. And as we do that, we produce a harvest of righteousness. What's that mean? It means that we get changed. God changes us. He changes our hearts. He wants us to be a thankful people and a generous people because that reflects our God in the world. We will reap what we sow, says Paul. And of course, Paul's not just talking here about harvest, is he? Harvest gifts. He's also talking about our whole lives, giving them to God in service of others. Well, God's gift of food to eat. That's our first gift that Paul reminds us of in this passage. But the second is also there, verse 15, his gift of his son. Verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, it turns out that Paul also got a house coat from Auntie Hazel. Because that is an indescribable gift, isn't it? No, that's not what he meant, was it? Of course not. No, the indescribable gift doesn't mean that it's so bad you can't put it into words. No, it's so good that you can't put it into words. It's indescribable. It's too wonderful for words. What is this gift that Paul is writing about? Well, it is what he has given to us in Jesus Christ. That is this wonderful gift. Now, Why would God send that gift of Jesus to us? Why would God send his gift, the gift of Jesus to us? Well, the Bible tells us that we've done something that is so bad, it's so bad, that our friendship with God has been completely ruined because of it. What is it that we've done? Well, we fail to follow in God's ways because we've decided what we think is the right way to live in God's world. And the Bible calls that sin. It's turning away from God and his loving care as the one who made us and knows what's best for us and rules over us. And we say, I want to decide what's best and right for my life, my family, my friends. And that's called sin. And as we do that, as we ignore God and as we don't live his way, well, something awful happens. It means that we can't be friends with God. It's a bit like, you know, driving a car. Okay? We want to be in the driving seat. We want to be able to decide where the car goes and how fast it gets there. We want to be the one who steers the car. We want to be in charge of our lives. And so we don't let God be God of our lives. Now the Bible says that we all do this. We all live lives kind of wanting to please ourselves first and foremost. Now look, here's the problem, is that God has made us so that he's the one who gets to sit in the driving seat of our lives. He's the one who gets to decide how fast we go and where we steer because he's God. He's the one who's rightly in charge. Now look, think for a moment. You know, if I'm driving my car kind of really recklessly and dangerously, I'm crashing into things, I'm crashing into people, I don't care about how I drive, well, of course you'd want to stop me from doing that, wouldn't you? Because, well, it's just making havoc. The only fair thing would be to someone to stop my driving and punish me for the crime that I'd done. I'd have to stand before the judge. He'd say, Reverend Barnsley, I find you guilty in charge of driving carelessly and recklessly. You must work 50 years hard labour or work for the Church of England. Well, of course that would be what would be right and good, wouldn't it? Of course it would. But here's the thing. God sent his Son into the world that he would rightly and justly take the punishment for the wrong that we've done. Even though we've ignored God, we've done something far, far worse than dangerous driving. No, we've taken all God's gifts and treated them as though they're ours by right. We've ignored the King of the world. And God will be right in punishing us for that, but he gave us his Son. He sent his Son into the world so that he could then bring us forgiveness and new life. How did he do that? Well, he sent his Son to die. That's why Paul describes this as an indescribable gift. It's a gift too good for words. It's so good because Jesus gave up everything so that we could be friends with God again. And if we accept God's gift of Jesus, then we will receive the harvest of life and blessing that God wants to give us. And we can be friends with God forever. So the principle is just the same. We reap what we sow. If we ignore God, then he'll give us what we deserve, a life without him forever. And the Bible calls that hell. But if we turn to Jesus and receive him as the gift of God for our forgiveness and new life by trusting and following him and allowing him to be in the driving seat of our lives, then guess what? Guess what? We receive God's blessing to us, a gift too wonderful for words. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the second gift in our reading today. And you see, as we start to see God's gifts to us, how that changes us and our lives. We need to learn to be thankful to God. Thankful not just for the food that we eat, but the life that he gives us and supremely the life that he gives us in Jesus Christ, the gift of his rescue from our sin, a gift of allowing us to be part of his life again. Well, what should we do at this harvest time? Well, we need to learn to be thankful, and in learning to be thankful, might appreciate what God has given to us. How amazing it is when we have a generous God who allows us to be generous to others. It changes our lives. So let's give thanks to God for all his amazing gifts that he generously gives to us. And in response, let's be generous to others, not just at harvest time, but in all that God gives us. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you have provided all that we need, so that we should be generous with all that we have. Thank you that you have given us what we most need, that is the gift of Jesus to rescue us from our sins. And so we pray that we would accept these gifts from you, and we would let Jesus be in charge of our lives as he becomes our Lord and Saviour. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.